Session number 8320.
Bill Davis, Reel 5. You were telling me about your visit as liaison person to Quinn's and Courtney's post. Would you like to
Yes.
continue?
I had four men with me, and we were then had to find out everything that was about the post and the Australian Light Horse, I think they were, and they got bombs, and when they came over from the Turks, which is quite easy, they drop in the trench, and if there was a if the thing hadn't ignited, our fellows would get hold of it and throw it back to them, and then it'd do the bursting in their trench. But
It
they
is.
had to. It was very difficult to get into their trench because they'd put some wire netting up, and that meant you had to get over the top of that.
How far away was the.
They were only within throwing distance, and if they'd have gone any further over to the right, then they'd have been in the sea, and so would we. There was Quinn's post and Courtney's post, and then the sea came next, about 5 yards from the sea itself. That was the end of the whole of the Anzac line, and that ran right through to one side of Surrey Bear, up the gully, up Surrey Bear, and then hitched up to, well, I don't know where they went then.
That's all right. Is there anything else you remember about Quinn's post?
Only that there was a revetment there, and I got behind it when any bombs were coming over. No bombs went off whilst I was there, not actually, but bombs did come, but they didn't explode. They were thrown back again whilst I was there.
What did you
And
think of the Australian troops? What did you think of the Australians?
Oh, first rate. Oh, Lance Corporal Jacker, he got a BC there. He was a bit of a wild one, but he was a good soldier. Oh, the Australians, they were fine. They were good soldiers.
Were they friendly?
Not particularly, no. No, they looked at us as pommies. New Zealanders were nice. The Canterbury Rifles and the and Canterbury Rifles. Australian Light Horse we had with us. Canterbury Rifles and somebody other. No.
How long, what were your duties as liaison? You were just meant to find out as much as possible about the Australian lines, and then who were you to report to?
We hadn't to report to anyone. If those Australians were moved out, we had to take over that particular section. Anyway, we were only there for about 3 days, 3 nights, and they called me in the ladders in, and then we started doing our march up to Suvla Bay along the beach, past Fisherman's Hut. We met lots of the Cheshires and other units coming back wounded from Suvla and Chocolate Hill and those places. And all the area, we'd seen it before when they were making their attack on that Suvla Bay portion. It got on fire, and fellows who'd been wounded or even killed, their ammunition kept going off whilst the fires were on.
You actually saw this happening, did you?
Yes. It's terrible that. Couldn't blame them. If they could have got going a bit quicker, they'd have cut that absolutely off. And all the rest of the Turks would have been down that end of the peninsula, and we could have stopped them that way. But they stopped somewhere. Somebody said they're having a cup of tea. We looked down on them from near Surrey Bear, over a ledge. We could see them down below there, perhaps about half a mile away. And we saw these lads and they stopped. There was no fire then, but the fire came afterwards, whether the Turks had set the thing as alight, you know. And that was the really bad part for them. They had a lot of casualties. Then...
Could you see the whole of the Suvla Bay plain from where you were?
Oh, yes. Yes, right. Flat up to as far as Lala Baba, just lay a little bit behind the lake. And Chocolate Hill was just in front.
When you saw the... Did you actually see the initial landing? Or
yes. Not straight away. No. We were looking down from Surrey Bear, from where we were, and we were looking over the valley kind of thing. But we didn't see him doing the actual landing, not there. Then we came on and went on to Chocolate Hill.
So you were moved round, marched round past Fisherman's Hut to Chocolate Hill. And what did you do at Chocolate Hill?
Not very much.
Were the trenches there? Or?
No, we couldn't make trenches. It was soft soil. It started to rain. Everything was wet through. Where we rested, the hole we'd put in the ground so that we wouldn't get injured, we became full of water. Most of the fellows had got dysentery. I had. The 26 of us left then out of the 50.
From your 50 from?
We set out with 50. 49 actually, I think it was. And we 26, and I was very poorly, really poorly.
How long was it that you were at Anzac? When did you leave Anzac to go to Suvla? About what date? If you landed at Anzac on the
7th. 7th
of August. About when was it that you went to Suvla?
Let's see, 7th. I'll have to reckon up. 7th. 9. Can't be sure.
Approximately. A week or two?
Perhaps a fortnight altogether.
And then you moved round to Suvla. I moved to Suvla. And you were stationed in a Chocolate Hill area. What exactly were you doing, though? Were you just sitting there, or were you in action?
We were waiting for the Turks to see if they were going to attack us. We were not going to attack them, I don't think. No, we were not in a condition. We hadn't enough men then.
I'd like to look... What was the state of health and morale in your unit then, by the time it had gone through the Anzac fighting and got to Suvla?
A bit browned off. All we thought about was the next meal. Go to the laboratory. I sent Reggie Skip, who enlisted with me, I sent him to build him a latrine further along, and lo and behold, I was lying down in my bit of wet trench. I heard stretcher bearers after a shell came over, and then next was Sergeant Davies. So I went, crawled up, and there was Reggie wounded. I had sent him to do that job, and of course he'd moved to where the latrines were to be extended, and the Turks had seen him, so they put a shell over for him. Then they put another shell, but that didn't do very much. And Reggie said, "Bill, lend us some brass." He wanted me to let him have some money. He knew I'd got some, and I gave him about £3.10. Mother used to send me a £10 note now and again, and I got these, and I gave him that. And he paid it in to my mother when he got home. He went home, and then he went to France after.
Did most people have dysentery by this time?
Quite a lot, yes.
Did it affect people's appearance? Did people look ill? Or?
Oh, you looked ill. You had no energy. I was in a bad way. I went to see the MO one day and I said, I think you'd have to send me away now. He said, well, stop another few days. He said, we've got no sergeants left. We've nobody left, hardly. And we're short of officers and we're short of NCOs and everything. He said, stay a couple of days. Oh, I said, all right. So I went back into my wet trench. It was my own. And some of the lads, when they were unloading meat, they came up, they'd, from Liverpool they were, mainly, Ferguson, another Lance Corporal Davis, and Ferguson, and who else? And they went to, they went down to the beach and brought these carcasses of lamb up, but they used to pull out the nice pieces which they kept for themselves, and of course I got one or two of them, and that was all right. So the officers didn't get all the meat that day. Anyway, finally,
had the flies become more of a problem by now?
Had what?
The flies become more of a problem. You said they weren't much of a problem at Helles.
No, they weren't. No, they weren't too bad. Weren't too bad.
So while you were at Gallipoli, you never really had a lot of trouble with the flies?
Oh, yes. We used to, sometimes, if you were having a strawberry jam tea with a biscuit, they'd come on then. They'd come on your biscuit, but you never, you just flicked them off and carried on. That's where, of course, we got the dysentery from, I suppose, a lot. And then the sand didn't help us, but of course, then it rained, of course, so it wasn't sandy then, it was just slutchy. And I remember leaving the battalion, seeing the CO, the MO, and say, I'm going now. He said, all right, lad. And I left him and I walked down towards the beach and I fell. I couldn't go anymore and I got my rifle and my equipment and I couldn't get up. And a fella came along and said, what's up, Sergeant? And he picked me up and we walked down to the beach and laid me down on the beach. I didn't remember anything more then until I was on a boat called the Gascon, a French hospital ship, a small one. And then they moved me, the ship, to Mudras.
So you left Suvla on the 22nd of September?
Would it?
And got to Mudros on the 25th of September.
Then at Mudros, I got on the Aquitania hospital ship, ready for home. And they gave me some frozen milk, and I was put in a little room on my own. And then I went to the office downstairs and there was a bench there and some ladies, some women, taking notes of people. And I said, I've got no notes. And she said, oh, well, I can't do anything for you. I said, shall I go back to my room again? And I didn't remember any more about that. And then I remember somebody saying, "Davis, he's gone. Sergeant Davis is gone." I said, "I'm Sergeant Davis." So there must have been another Sergeant Davis. It was a common enough name. And then they took me off there. I don't remember going quite. I remember getting to the next hospital, left the Aquitania, and went to Third General Hospital, Australian.
Where was this at?
That was at Mudras, and I was there for about 3 weeks. And they shaved me all round, absolutely. Gave me blue unction to kill all the lice. Put me into a bed with clean sheets. And I lay there for 3 weeks. Then they took me to another hospital ship after I'd been there. Oh, whilst we were there, I remember one of the nurses, she found a thing on the next fellow's bed. Well, his name was Kirchibal, I think. He was an Australian, and it was a centipede, a long one, 21 inches long it was. And she'd got it with her clippers or something, and she showed it to us, and they measured it. It was 21 inches. If it had got on us, it would have probably upset us a bit. And then went on the also a P&O hospital ship to Alexandria, and then on the train to Cairo, and then up the hill to from Cairo station up to Citadel Hospital, right at the top of the hill where there's a big mosque on the top. You could see some of the pyramids and so on, not far off there. And I was there for a long time.
When you felt ill for a long time then?
Ooh, it was very poorly, very poorly.
What sort of symptoms were you suffering from by now?
Just diarrhea. Had quite a number of motions, and I was still on the milk diet, and occasionally they'd scramble an egg for me, and I didn't get very much any other food hardly. Anyway, finally I bucked up a bit and went to another hospital at Helouan, which is very, very nice, and I stayed there for about 4 or 5 days, and then had word to say I was to go back to Shrewsbury in England, and that sent my temperature up. So they sent me back again to Citadel Hospital, and I was there for another 3 weeks. And then finally I went down to a convalescent camp at just near Cairo, Abbasia, and then down to Sidi Bish, which is near Alexandria. And there I was pretty weak, couldn't carry my kit. But the doctor there said he couldn't understand why they'd sent me down in that condition. Anyway, I was finally fixed up in the sergeant's mess and given ordinary food and a tent to myself on the beach, and later someone came along and said they'd heard that I'd been a clerk in civil life, but I like a job. So I said, oh yes. And I was taken up to an office in Rudy Ramley, Alexandria, where I met a Captain Jameson, who gave me a little examination, and he was very pleased to have me. And I became acting order room sergeant of the Royal Welsh Fusiliers, and I retained that right through quite a long time. Well, in Alexandria, it was a case of walk every dinner time, a good walk, perhaps about a mile, and that put me on my feet pretty thoroughly. Then we saw Christmas over.
Was there any special Christmas celebrations?
Yes, but it was an unfortunate one. It was such a one that the proprietors of the people who were catering had to call the police in because we'd upset the whole place.
What have you been doing?
We had fish with bones of glass bones in them, and fruit, and a poor cup of coffee. They charged us an extra, about half a crown more on top of our normal price. And we upturned the place, and they brought the civilian police in to shift us out. And that became pretty bad. So we went out and got a little ration, I think at a little cafe. And then decided to go off on a walk on my own. And at about 7 o'clock, I was up near a street called Cleopatra, and there was a cafe there, and I got a Christmas dinner, all complete, 2 glasses of wine, fruit, soup, turkey, everything. And they charged me 15 piastres for the whole meal. Then went out. I had to walk back then to Rudy Ramley, where our office was and where we were bivouacked. And it was then about 10 o'clock. And it began to snow. And the snow was about an inch thick by the time I'd got down to Alexandria. It was pretty cold, but it was very pretty, and it was very quiet. And then got up with the other boys, and we had a cup of coffee each, brewed on a little primus stove we had there. We slept in the offices there for quite a time, and then of course the evacuation from Gallipoli took place, and we met some of the troops who'd come off there, interviewed them and got more details to go into our nominal rolls so we'd have a better record. And
what condition were the troops in when they were evacuated from Gallipoli?
Very good. Very good. They'd been fed well. They left a lot of rations behind. Yes, they'd done marvellously well.
How did you feel about getting away from Gallipoli and knowing you wouldn't have to go back? Were you pleased? Or?
Oh, yes. I didn't want to go back. No, I didn't want to go back. That was enough for me, as a matter of fact. I thought I'd done my piece. Anyway, and about February of the following year, we had lots of rumours as to what was going to happen to us, but finally the Royal Welsh and all our 13th Division was designated to take up duties in Mesopotamia. And we...
Did you know where Mesopotamia was, or what was happening there?
Yes, yes. We had good information. And we went... The troops went first, and then we went about a fortnight later. 13 of us, 13 orderly room sergeants for our division, one for each battalion. And we took all our records in huge cases, and then went down the Red Sea, came to the Somali land on the right. It looked very forbidding, didn't care for it at all. And then we came to the 12 apostles, 12 little islands, right down at the bottom of the Red Sea. And then we sort of turned left and went up the Persian Gulf. And we stopped at Aden. We coaled, the ship was re-coaled, and the sea was very interesting. You could see to the bottom of the sea, and the fish floating about, it was quite nice, and sponges and things like that. Then we finally went up the gulf until we came to a small place called Kawit. And there we were, about 40 of us were allowed to go ashore. And we saw the sheikh and his little bodyguard of 8 mounted fellows coming in to go into his palace, which is like a prison. And the flat-roofed houses, not very many, and like a marketplace, just like an ordinary marketplace as we might have had in old England. Then we got aboard again, and we were transferred to a little ship called the Britain, HMT Britain. The bigger ship we were on was the Ausonia, and that was two.